Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. I am so excited to just praise and worship with you all. So why don't you come up towards the front? There's plenty of room, and we're going to enter into the presence of God. Amen. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. There is healing. There is restoration. Everything that we need is in the presence of God. If you're hungry for that, go ahead and just lift your hands with me and say, Father, have your way in my life this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. Awesome. Yeah, you sound good. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. No other name that can save, deliver, and restore. Oh, Jesus the same. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. There is no other name that is greater than Jesus. Merciful, supernatural. Jesus is highly mighty, worthy. Jesus is gracious, patient, generous. And there is no other name that is greater than Jesus. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Omnipotent, Jesus is giving, giving, and loving, and there is no other name that is greater than, no other name that is greater than Jesus, Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forevermore. Oh, Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forevermore. There is no other name that is greater than Jesus. Are you ready to live?
and no weapon formed against us can stand up to the name of Jesus, Jesus. No other name, nothing can separate us. No weapon formed against us can stand up to the name of Jesus.
Come on, one more time.
Nothing can separate us. No weapon formed against us can stand up to the name of Jesus, Jesus. No other name.
And Omega.
You are Alpha and Omega.
You're the beginning and the end.
You're the beginning and the end.
You're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
You're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
And I praise
your name.
Your name. I praise your name.
Your name.
You are Alpha and Omega.
You are Alpha and Omega.
You're the beginning and the end.
You're the beginning and the end.
You're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
You're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
And I praise your name.
Your name.
Holy, holy,
holy, holy,
you are worthy.
praise of God so good this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. I want everybody to just lift their hands. And I want you to remind yourselves of the victory that God has already given you. It's so easy for me to look back on my life and see everything that He's already done for me. Oh Lord, if you've done it once, you'll do it again. If you healed me once, you'll do it again. If you provided for me once, you'll do it again. We believe that you are who you say you are, God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. By your stripes, I am healed. With one touch, I am made whole. You have spoken, and I know that it is so. And in the storm, you are peace, and your love won't let me go. You have spoken, and I know that it is so. Come on, declare you're healed this morning. And by your stripes, I am healed. With one touch, I am made whole. You have spoken, and I know that it is so. And in the storm you are peace. In the storm you are peace. And your love won't let me go. You have spoken, and I know that it is so.
Done.
up your spirit with faith this morning. Hallelujah. By your stripes, I am healed. With one touch, I am made whole. You have spoken, and I know that it is so. Hallelujah. Oh, I know it's so. Jesus, we just want to please you this morning.
God's healing people this morning. There's a person in your left ankle, on the outside of your ankle, literally feels like all the way around that. God is releasing that pain right now and healing the problem in Jesus' name. There's another individual, you're having problems. It's in your ear, goes up to your temple on the left-hand side, then streaks right back around to the back of your neck. In the name of Jesus, I curse infection in Jesus' name. And I command it to leave the body. I command the ear to be made whole in Jesus' name. Lord, no restraint for the glory of God. Father, I thank you, Lord, that there's a person also on your your right knee. It's not forward, but when you go backwards, it extends backwards too far. I believe it's a ligament. God is restoring the ligament in your leg in the name of Jesus so that you're not going to go backwards anymore. There won't be that pain, especially when it starts to rain. You're feeling all of that. God's restoring you in Jesus' name. You start moving around, you'll feel right now. Actually, start moving backwards, you'll feel right now that pain leaving your body in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you love us. You care about every single need in our life. There's another individual. It's right dead center in the middle of your sternum, right where my microphone is. It feels like a pencil's going right down and through there. And Lord is releasing right now that artery in Jesus' name. I command right now all the pain to be gone. I command all the blockage to be gone in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you heal our bodies. Lord, this morning, more than anything, we just want you to know we love you. Thank you so much for being in this place. You are so good to us. God, you are so good to us, and we need you more than we've ever needed you before. Another person down underneath your right rib cage, more down towards, between underneath the rib cage, but more to the side, and it extends down into towards the hip area. God is healing that right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I just want to thank you. Lord, the gifts of the Spirit are so true, so real, so valid. Lord, and I thank you, you won't reveal it if you don't heal it. So God, I thank you that everyone, Lord Jesus, every one of those scenarios you're healing and restoring right now. Father, they're going to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I thank you for the miracle. You're working in the young lady in the congregation. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in her life. You are a miracle working God. And we give you praise and glory for that in Jesus' name. Lord, you are so faithful to us. We love you so much. And we thank you for your goodness. It is all about you. Jesus, we give you all the praise and all the glory. We get none of it. Come on, that left ear, whoever you are, you need to receive that. Listen, I physically feel that. So if you don't receive it, I'm just going to cast it off right now off of me, and I'm not going to remember it anymore. So if that's you, better grab it. That's God healing your body right now in the name of Jesus. Command that right now to be whole in Jesus' name. Father, I just give you praise. Why don't you just lift your hands and sing it one more time? It's all about come on, you. Come on, worship Jesus.
It's all about you. It's all about you.
Is the anointing? Go.
It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you.
We honor you. Can I share without giving your name? We have a lady that started coming to our church. Oh, I don't know. It's been a few months, right? And she's a young lady. They told her she was terminal. She was going to die. We started laying hands on her in Jesus' name. How many of you know the name of Jesus is powerful? I remember when she first came, she was so weak, she couldn't stand in the service. And she just gave me the testimony today. She got a CT scan back. The tumors are all shrinking, and her lungs are healing themselves. Amen? That's not possible. That's not possible by man. That's a God thing. I just thank the Lord. We get to see healing and miracle all the time, and we are very blessed. You know, there are churches that never, ever, ever see miracles in healing. But we believe him. We believe we know who Jesus is. Amen. If Jesus said it, he'd do it. And we're not going to doubt it. Amen. So how many of you know that God is good? I said, how many of you know that God is good? There's a person on your left foot. It's on the inside of the foot, wraps around the ball from the outside in. That's you. Just start moving it, and you'll find that God's releasing that right now. Your faith. Do you want to know why God's healing you? Because your faith just rose when I gave that testimony. So it literally put a draw on the gifts of the Spirit. You'll be blown away on how God responds to your faith. See, when you just come to church, you just come to church. You know, sometimes you leave, you know, like the people that thronged Jesus that day. You just leave. Well, yeah, I went to church. Well, you know what? I don't want to just go to church. Jesus is here every time we're here. And I don't know about you. I want to see God move. I want to see God touch my life. Man, sometimes you gotta push people away to get that. It's true. Sometimes you just got to say, I don't care what you think. I don't care what you feel. I know what I got to get. And if you're gonna do that, you're gonna have a persistence and a passion to get all that God has for you. Can I have a drink of water? Isn't he a handsome young man? He is single, $49.95. Yeah, we take applications. Mama's speaking over there. She's getting scary. Can you do me a favor on your way back to your chair? Can you look at 5 or 6 people and say, I thank God for miracles? Come on, find somebody you don't know this morning, somebody you've never met in your entire life. Shake their hand and say, I thank God for miracles. Young lady, I love you.
Grab a seat, grab a notebook, grab a pen, and get ready because we've got information coming up that you do not want to miss.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How are we doing today? Awesome. If y'all want to find your seats right quick, we're going to get into some announcements for you. First, do we have any first-time guests in the house? If you are new here, please raise your hand so we can give you a present. There's any of us? Do I see any? No? That is... Oh, there's some. I saw that hand, but he put it back down. But any first-time guests who are here today, we have... Yeah, right over here, guest reception people, that whole, like, first and second row of that section are all new friends. If we could all get them some presents. For all of our guests, we do have a guest reception room over here on my left-hand side, your right. Please come meet the staff and pastors here at the church. We would love to get to know you. That'll be really great. And plus, there's snacks and coffee. And I mean, who doesn't like snacks and coffee? Also, this next couple weeks, we are doing a sock drive for Matthew 25. If you guys could go out to the store, please buy new unused socks and donate new unused socks. There is a can right out by the welcome desk. We will give those out to people in our community who need socks and don't have them this winter. Also, we have an awesome opportunity. Every Wednesday night, we bus in about 100 children. They come in, they get to eat food, they get to be taught about God. And this Christmas, we give them presents every year. But this Christmas, we have the opportunity to buy presents for them. So out on the trees by the kids' check-in desk, there we go, are some, whatever these are called, cards with a name, age, and gender of a child who you can bless this year. If you would take that card, either buy a present and bring it back, or put like $20 to $40 inside an envelope and put in the offering, and Pastor has something to say.
You know who else is doing this with us? Finger Lakes Harley-Davidson. They've just taken 75 names, and they're putting them all over the trees. And the Hog Group, the local Hog Group, which is a Harley owners group, actually donate up to $750 per year to help with our children. So isn't it awesome we get to participate with the Harley-Davidsons? Amen.
So if you would go check out that tree and have the presents and or cash back by December 15th, so either we can get the toys to the kids or go out and buy new toys for the kids. But now if you turn your attention to the side screen, we have some video announcements for you.
Hey family, we want to remind you about Next Steps classes. They're happening every single week. Whatever campus you're attending, make sure you go to histabernacle.com, find out what classes are happening, and join a class today so you can grow in your walk in relationship with the Lord.
Hey family, are you looking for an encounter with God? Come to Freedom Weekend December 6th and 7th. It is a series of teachings that will affirm your identity in Christ. Register for $10 at histabernacle.com. And remember, we only hold 35 spots. So register today, that way we can hold a seat for you.
Are you new to the church? If so, we have something that will help you so much in knowing who you are, knowing why we exist, and knowing what we're here to accomplish together. Growth Track is every single Sunday morning. We'd love to invite you to join this so you can be a part of the family and you can have all of your questions answered. Every single Sunday morning, you can sign up at the Information Center or right online at histabernacle.com.
Life is not meant to be lived alone. That's why at His Tabernacle, we created groups just for you. The perfect place to live and grow in your church community. To find out how you can get involved, visit us online or out front at the information desk.
How many of you love hearing testimonies? We get to hear so many testimonies in this house. We want to take time to share them with you. Pastor and I were just talking this morning. Man, we could just go on and on and on about the testimonies that God has been doing. We want to start with Stacy and Mark. They have a healing miracle testimony that will encourage you today.
Hi, this just came to me today that I need to share it. I'd been feeling not quite right for probably about 5-6 months. Went to the doctor, had some tests done, and the test came back that very next morning that I had a mass in my left ovary, which is particularly troublesome because I have a strong family history of ovarian cancer. So within 24 hours, I was referred to a specialist and an oncologist up in Rochester and saw her. That all happened within like 3 days. And she said, okay, we're not going to panic. This is what we're going to do. And she said, I want a repeat ultrasound in 6 weeks, genetic testing, da-da-da. Immediately, I got on the phone to Pastor Andrea and Pastor Rhonda and declared that it had no place in my body, declared that it was not going to be there. When they did the repeat ultrasound, because it was solid and it had vascularity, which if you know anything about cancer, that's not good. So I went back for my repeat ultrasound on Tuesday up to Rochester, and it's completely gone. Amen. There's nothing. So praise God. Praise the Lord. So I just wanted to say during that time, you know, God did not heal me because I'm perfect or anything like that. He did it because he loves me. And we declared and there just was no option.
There
was just no option. So I'd like to give God all the credit and these guys for teaching us this stuff. And just thank you, Jesus. I don't have to go back to this doctor. There's no reason to. I declare it'll never happen again.
Amen, amen, amen. Woo, God is so good. And listen, these testimonies, the Word of God, isn't just for a certain age group or demographic. This is Mackenzie, and she is 14 years old. 14 years old, and here's her tithing testimony.
So a couple weeks ago, I gave my first tithe because we were being taught that at Uproar. And so I gave it my first tithe, and when I got home later that night, my dad said there was $10 waiting for me that my neighbors had given to me for no particular reason, just for being a good neighbor. And I deeply believe that was God speaking to me and saying thank you for giving my tithe.
So awesome. That's exactly what Malachi 3:10 says, is test me in this and you will see. So at 14 years old, she put God to the test and immediately God showed up. That's what he does. He's so awesome. Thank you, Mackenzie. Let's stand to our feet. We'll make our supernatural declaration. This is simply the Bible. It's found in Deuteronomy 28, and we speak over our finances. As we give it, we're declaring that our finances are being put in the supernatural hands of God. They're being moved from natural to supernatural. So let's declare. Repeat after me. It says, if I obey,
if I obey,
then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God, and I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button or even text to give right along with us.
You are Alpha and Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You're the same yesterday.
Hallelujah. How many of you love Jesus? Well, that was really sad. I said, how many of you love Jesus? You can do better than that. I said, how many of you love Jesus? Amen. You know, you yelled louder than that at the football game on your television. Amen. You know, I want you to know that it's all right to get excited about Jesus. Amen. He changed your life. That's the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be excited about the Lord. Today, I'm so excited because I get the opportunity to preach a message that I love and I live. How many of you know if you don't live it, you don't need to preach it? I never preach something I don't live. And today, I get a great opportunity. I want to invite everybody out tonight down in Mansfield. I believe it's the Tioga County Fairgrounds. Jonathan Shuttlesworth will be there tonight at 6:15. Somebody help me time-wise. 6:15, what's that? Doors open at 6:15. Jonathan Shuttlesworth is Tiff's son, who was just here last week. I'd encourage you to go down. I know you'll be blessed. You'll have a great time. He moves strong in the Holy Spirit, miracles, signs, and wonders. You'll be encouraged, built, and strengthened. I'd encourage you to go tonight, and they might extend it to Monday night. So if we get enough folks down there, they'll extend it prayerfully one more evening for you to be blessed and ministered to in God's Spirit. This is the year of... This is the year of... Next level. How many of you found God has taken you to the next level in 2019? God has brought you to a new place in the Spirit. He's taught you some things and developed your spiritual walk. We've been ministering on next level finances or spent. Now, if you do not have your Grow book, we do have some left out there. I'd strongly encourage you. We have them really inexpensive. They're only $10. I'd encourage you to go get a Grow book right after service at the information table. Why? Because in there, it gives you the ability to do devotions with this topic, as well as it gives you the tools, how to budget, how to do snowball. All that stuff is in there, how to get out of debt. Shout it out loud. Debt is my enemy. Amen. God does not want you in debt. And it's time to learn how to give your way out of debt. Turn to someone and say, give your way out. The power of debt is so debilitating to so many of you. Some of you are literally hand to mouth every week. In fact, many people in the body of Christ are just one paycheck away from losing it all. And I want to encourage you, that's not the way God wants you to live. I said, that's not the way God wants you to live. God does not want you barely making it by. God does not want you hand to mouth. God does not want you poor. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Now, it's always interesting when we start talking about, this is our fourth week talking about this topic. 2 weeks ago, we preached on tithing. And tithing, if you believe in salvation, how many believe that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life? No man comes to the Father but by him. How many believe salvation is through Jesus? I believe the Word of God says so. If you believe that, you've got to believe in tithing. It's the same Bible. Amen. Can't take the parts out you don't like. You got to go with the whole. Amen? So this is where God wants to change us, transition us, because God wants to put us in a position of blessing, not of poverty. And it's time to break the poverty mentality in many of our brains. And that comes through obeying God's word and living in God's economy. God has literally placed in his word the ability to know how to prosper to where you and I will have more than enough. It's not enough. Listen now, if you are praying, oh God, give me just enough to make my bills, that is the most selfish prayer you can pray. Because if you're just praying for yourself, you have nothing to bless anybody else with. And God wants to use you to be a blessing, not just a taker, but to be a blessing. Debt is so powerful in many of our lives. The Bible says simply in Proverbs 22, verse 7, just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is the servant to the lender. When you and I go into debt, now we've talked about this a few weeks ago, that not all debt is bad. Now I know this is debatable and there are different viewpoints all over the place, but it's very difficult today to buy a house without some level of debt. Now, I'll just share with you one of the things that a man taught me, who was a prudential executive for 42 years, and his whole process was investments. He said, try not to pay your house off if you can. That's the only thing you can actually deduct. But yet, sell it down or pay it down to where you have enough equity so that if you need to buy a vehicle, you use your equity to buy that off your house. Therefore, you can use and take the interest off rather than buy it any other way. But we all know this, credit card debt is always bad. Credit card debt is always bad. Credit card debt is always bad. It is never good. It is never God. It's time to recognize we've got to get rid of the debt that is literally smothering so many of you in your life. You get up every morning, you hate your job, but you know you can't not go to your job simply because if you don't, nobody's going to eat anything. God does not want you in debt. Tell somebody, get out of debt. Come on, tell somebody else, get out of debt. Philippians chapter 4, 17 through 19 says this, not that I speak the gift itself, but I speak the profit which increases to your heavenly account and blessing which is accumulating for you. Now, this is Paul talking to the church of Philippi, and this is talking about seed. We're going to get into the three main giving principles in the scripture. One is tithe. Everybody shout, tithe is one-tenth. That got really quiet, didn't it? I said, tithe is one-tenth. I'm not requiring that. It's not the church, it's God. I feel like I'm living in the north this morning. Hallelujah. All by myself on the boat. Jesus, help us all. I said, tithe is always from God. Amen. Amen. Tithe is a tenth. Amen. That was weaker. Did you hear that? Let's try it again. A tithe is a tenth. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Leviticus that all the tithe belongs to the Lord. Amen. Got it quieter even there. All the tithe belongs to the Lord. Amen. Amen. We're tithers. What does that mean? That means that we learn the principle of this, that you cannot serve both God and mammon. Mammon is not Satan. Mammon is money. In fact, what's interesting is money is even more powerful in many people's lives than Lucifer himself. We serve money. Let me give you a qualifying question that you can ask yourself. If the Lord tells you today to sell everything and follow him, could you do it? You see, if you remember, the rich young ruler came to Jesus. He was very wealthy. And he said, Jesus, you know, I keep the law. I do everything since I'm a child. What more can I do? And Jesus said, sell all that you have and follow me. And the Bible says he walked away very sad. Why did he walk away sad? Because his things owned him, not him owning things. In our lives as believers, there's nothing wrong with having nice things. It's okay to have a very nice house. It's okay to drive a Mercedes-Benz. Oh, you should see the Christians. Well, they drive a Mercedes. That's all right. Praise God, they got the money for a Mercedes. Amen. Maybe they were more trustworthy in the little things and God blessed them with more things. Whoop, Jesus, move on. It's important to recognize that we've got to be trustworthy and we've got to obey God. The tithe is the Lord's. Say amen. I said, say amen. The Bible says that in Matthew 6:24. You can't serve both God and mammon. So we're talking about tithe. We already did that. We're not going to go back. But I want to talk to you about another type of giving. It's called alms. Everybody say alms. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 says this, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do your charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory for men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do it a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and that your Father who sees in secret will reveal himself, who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. So an alm is different than a tithe. A tithe is 10% holy to the Lord. It is declaring, I want to remind you, when you bring your tithe to the Lord, you're not putting money in the plate. You're putting your life that you sold to somebody else in the plate. Every time that we sell ourselves, and we do every single week, if you get a paycheck, you're selling yourself for a wage. What you're doing when you're tithing is you're coming up and saying, I'm putting 10%, and I'm declaring that this 10% of my life is declaring that God is my source. When God is your source, it doesn't matter what happens to your company. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. That according to Malachi, God rebukes the devourer for your case. It's time to recognize that when you step into tithing, you're stepping into the principles of God's yea and amen, and God's blessing will always be in your life. But there's another type of giving called alms, and that's called charitable giving. Charitable giving is powerful because it's so important. The Word of God declares that we're always going to have the poor amongst us. Now, here in this house, we welcome you if you're poor. We want you to come. We have all different types of people that come to this church, people that are destitute, people that are living on welfare, and then people that are extremely wealthy. And it doesn't matter to us what you have. It matters to us where you're going. You can come here in destitution, but we're believing God that you're going to come out on top with God's principles, and you're going to accelerate, and you're going to be prosperous in all things. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Our bishop, man, I believe it's 20-some-odd men or women came into his church on welfare, and every one of them now are multimillionaires. How is that possible? Well, it's not because the bishop gave them money. It's because he taught them the principles of tithe, alm, and seed, and they started living the word of God. God cannot lie. And when you live God's word, you will always prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So an alm is giving down to somebody. It's finding somebody that's poor. Now, when I say down, I don't mean that that person is lower than you. I don't mean that God doesn't love them as much. I mean they're in a bad spot. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you have been in a bad spot? We've all been in bad spots at some point in our life where we've struggled, and there have been times, it might have been 30, 40 years ago. It might have been when you first got married. It might have been how you grew up. But somebody blessed you. Somebody helped you. I'm reminded of the little boy. We bus in all these children every week. And I remember my wife was going to classes back in that time. It was on a Wednesday night. And there was a little boy in the classroom. He was always getting picked on by his friends because he didn't have the right kind of sneakers. And man, they're brutal. I don't know if you've been around kids lately, but they're pretty brutal, even over sneakers. And so this kid's getting brutalized, and it was horrible. Rhonda walked in, Pastor Rhonda walked into the classroom that day and saw the little boy, and I don't know how he explained it to you, but you found out that he needed sneakers. And somebody that week had given an alm of a pair of sneakers. And Rhonda went back, found out his size, and it was the exact size of this young man, and they were Air Jordans. She took that young man back, put the pair of sneakers on. He was so proud of those sneakers. He was so happy. He walked into the classroom and propped his feet up on the table so all the kids could see he's got brand new Air Jordans. That's an alm. You're giving to somebody that's poor. And that's important. We need to give to the poor. Amen. Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Amen. Not the leaves. So if we've done it under the least, we've done it under Christ. So giving alms are very important. Giving to people that are poor are very important. But yet, we've got to understand that yet you don't give to somebody that's going to continue to live in that poverty mentality. They'll never come out. My favorite guy was one that used to call every single month. Every month he called this church. Pastor, or he would talk to Pastor Dan or myself, Pastor, I've run out of food. It's the end of the month. I get my check in a week or so. Can you help us? And of course, we would help them. And it was very interesting. One day, he called me up. It was right near Thanksgiving. And he said, well, I just need you to know that I need food. I want a turkey. I want cranberry sauce. I want mashed potatoes. And he went through his turkey list. And he expected us to pick up his turkey list. And then he said, and by the way, I need to move by Saturday, and if you don't move me, then I'm going to lose everything, so when are you sending people? Well, I'm listening, and he yells at his wife, and he said to his wife, turn down the TV. I'm trying to talk to the pastor. It means they got cable. And all of a sudden, I heard, beep, call waiting. And I said, I'm going to make an executive decision today. I said, no, we're not going to give you Thanksgiving, and no, we're not going to move you. And his response to me was, then go to hell. And I went, he just told the pastor to go to hell. It's the best. I mean, you can't do any better than telling the pastor to go to hell. I'm just rolling all over the floor. And so guess what happened next month? Phone rings. Hi there, you know, I'm out of food. I was wondering if your church would be able to help me. I said, aren't you the guy who told me to go to hell? He goes, I would never do that. Giving to the poor is very important because this is what God's desire is for those who are blessed to help other people. But I want to remind you what the Word of God does say about this, that you're not allowed to go out and say, hi, I just gave this guy 50 bucks. You know, in that time of Christ, there were Pharisees and Sadducees. They were the religious leaders of that day. And what they would do is they would walk around and they'd help somebody and go, oh, by the way, I just helped them. Yeah, that was me. I helped them. They wouldn't be where they are today without me and helping them with their finances. You know, that's not what God's plan is for your life. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. If you're blessing somebody that is in poverty, if you're blessing somebody that's in need, the Bible says that if you do it secretly, your Father in heaven will reward you openly. Now, this is different because when God rewards you openly, what this means is it could come in many different facets and manners. It could come in the manner of spiritual blessing. It could come in the manner of health in your life. It could come in the manner of blessing in finances. It could come in the manner of just peace in your life. The blessing of God through an alms could be in such a diverse manner, and God will meet that need in your life. But I want you to know this, that if you bless somebody with an alms, like these children that we're going to buy Christmas gifts for, you know, if you bless one of those kids, you might be just sitting back and saying, well, I didn't really do much, maybe $20 or $30. But you don't know what that's going to do in bringing a change to a child. I remember it was not too many years ago. We did a Christmas Eve service. No, it was before that. We had a time of prayer and fast. I don't know what it was. Well, anyways, there was two little boys sitting up front right here. They were like 10 and 11 years old. And my wife walked up to them and started talking to them and found out that they weren't going to get a Christmas, that their mother had already told them she had spent the money. She had spent the money she had spent it on booze and weed, and she traded it off for different things. And these kids were not going to get a Christmas. And they just looked at my wife and they said, well, we don't want anything. We're just praying that God will meet our need. They had been taught in the Wednesday night class. And so all of a sudden, my wife came out of there. You know, she's not doing well. And she said, we've got to do something. And so we did. We gave those kids the best Christmas they could have ever had in their entire life. I'm talking like $600 or $700 worth of gifts and blessing them. They were just so elated, so excited. That is what is called an alms. And we need to give alms. Amen. I love the fact that you are an alms-giving church every Wednesday. Listen, you give, literally, I'm not even exaggerating, it costs us $650 a week to bus in all these children that we bring in. Then we then feed them. Have you seen the groceries that these kids are getting? Man, it's good stuff. They're getting clothes. They're getting sneakers. They're going to get Christmas presents. That's alms. Thank God that we're able to do that. Why? Well, because you are such a generous congregation. And I thank God for your heart for the love of people. And I challenge you, maybe you've never come on a Wednesday night and sowed your time. Remember, time is interesting because that also is a part of what God has from your life, that God will have you give some of your time to the kingdom to be able to love other people. So come on a Wednesday and give your alms to the Lord as you love these children. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time, so I do want to say this one last thing about alms. Are you ready? You do not use your tithe for an alms. Well, I saw Sister Susie was in trouble, so I think I'm going to give her part of my tithe. No, no, no. The tithe, according to Malachi chapter 3, the tithe belongs to the storehouse. Well, that's awful quiet. The tithe belongs to the storehouse. Amen. Amen. So if you're watching by live stream and this is your church, this is where you're supposed to be tithing. If this is where you are, this is where you're supposed to be tithing. And I challenge you to continue to do that. Now, if you see somebody, and this is why we want prosperity in our life. What is true prosperity? Because wealth is relative. To somebody in this room, $10 an hour is a lot of money. To some, $15 is a lot of money. To some, $25 is a lot of money. To some, $100 is a lot of money. Wealth is relative. Listen, God is not interested in making you something that you're not supposed to be. But one thing that he wants is always that you will have more than enough, so that you can give to every need in every situation if there's a situation that comes. Last week we had Brother Tiff. Man, you sowed into his ministry. You sowed to send him to Alaska, into literally areas that have never once heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that exciting that you had more than enough? You were able to tithe and then give a seed to send him to where people could not afford to be. It's powerful to have more than enough. And this is God's plan for your life. The next type of giving is called seed. And seed is different from alms. Alms, don't you let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You're giving down. You're not expecting anything specific in return, but God will reward you openly. Seed is different. Seed is just like a farmer, that you have an expectation of receiving something back. Now I hear people say all the time, Well, I don't give to get. You're a liar. Everything you do is giving to get. There are people that are not in this church today. Why? Because they didn't feel value. They didn't feel it was valuable enough to be sitting in the seat to hear the word of God. Therefore, they didn't take of the value. They did not want to give their time because they didn't think what they would receive was valuable enough. Everything we do, how many of you breathe today? You gave to get. You can't get your next breath until you give your last breath. Everything you and I do is about giving and getting. If I go to shake somebody's hand, I shake their... Come on over here, Art. Come on over here. Shake my hand, sir. Now, I want you to... I'm going to reach out and shake my hand. Don't shake my hand. Awkward. Why is that awkward? Well, because I reached my hand out. I reached my hand out, give to get. And how... Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. How awkward it is when you give, but you don't get. You see, it is the opposite of the law of reciprocity that God has set in order all the way back in the book of Genesis. God has created you to increase. He has created you to have abundance. He has created you to have more than enough. He's created you to give and to get. Within the seed is the life, and the life that's in the seed, it has to always work because the life has been created by God. And yet, did you hear the story about all the way back, they untombed one of the pharaohs, and in the tomb they found seeds that were 2,000 years old. Do you know what they did to those seeds? They planted some of them. Do you know what happened to that? It grew. Why? Because life is in the seed, and that's God's word. Everything is the life of a seed. And today I want to encourage you that when we start talking about seeding, you can seed your way out of debt. Kayla and Terry gave a testimony not too many months ago how they gave their way out of debt. God wants to teach you how to give your way out of debt. Supernatural debt cancellation isn't that God has a printing press in heaven and you just need a few hundreds, you make a call. Hey, can you throw me down some Georges? Who's on the 100? Franklin, thank you. I have them in my wallet. Isn't that my pocket? It's important to recognize that you've got to be able to know how to activate heaven to be brought to earth. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do you activate the abundance of heaven on earth? Well, they're through the godly principles of tithing, alms, and seed. And seed is powerful because seed gives you the ability to name what you want. It gives you the ability to declare what you want for a harvest. And what I love so much about God is that God wants you blessed so that you will always have more than enough. Oh, let's read the verse. It's easier just to read the Bible. The Bible is true. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6 through 11 says this. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or out of a response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. I'll come back to this now. I want to show you. Who determines the level of your increase financially? It's not God. My wife and I have learned this principle, and I want to remind you that when we first started off back in Newfield, it was $10 a week full-time. That's what we were making as a pastor of a church, $10 a week full-time. I had to drive school bus in Newfield to be able to support my family, and if I didn't harvest a deer and spaghetti and rice, then we wouldn't have had any food. You see, we were in that poor posture because I was never taught prosperity back in those days. But yet we started to learn the word of God. We started to learn the principles of heaven. We started to learn the principles of the seed. And my wife and I were always tithers. Didn't matter if we had it or didn't have it, tithe was first. I said, tithe is first. Amen. I said, tithe is first. I always made God number one priority. Tithe was always first. And then we were always praying because we love to bless people. Now, my wife, I'll be honest with you. My wife has emptied our bank account more than once. I've gone back and seen zero. She saw a man, a woman of God came in. Listen, going down to Brother Ted's camp meeting in West Virginia. You got to leave your credit cards home. You've got to leave your checkbook home. You've got to leave everything home, because if you don't leave it home, you come back with nothing. Amen. Amen. But the one thing we've learned is, as we have become people that are true seeders, we have found that everything that we need is in heaven. You see, that's the awesome part about not being the owner, but about having access. When you understand that everything we own, God never called us to ownership, he called us to stewardship. That when God put Adam in the garden, he didn't say, you own the garden. He said, I'm giving you stewardship over the garden. Your job is to prosper. Your job is to increase. Your job is to bring production. But this is still all my stuff. When you understand that, then it's really not hard to be a giver. You see, today, if you are offended that I'm talking about money, you've got an issue. You've got an issue because you don't believe God's word. It's not the preacher. Oh, I hear it all the time. All that church wants is your money. Let me tell you honestly, I've never told you you have to give. I don't know what you give. I don't know your tithing records. I don't know who gives in this church and who doesn't give, except for my staff, because if my staff doesn't tithe, I fire them. But if you're here today, I don't know anything about your giving records. Why don't I know that? Because it's not my business. That's between you and Jesus. But the one thing that I've learned is that if you are a tither, you've never come to me for help. That's the truth. If you're a tither, I've never had a tither come and say, I can't make my bills. All tithers have always been blessed. And if you're bothered by me talking about finances, then you have an issue, and I'm guaranteeing you this, mammon owns you more than God owns you. Because when you understand the principles of God over mammon, then you understand that you can trust God. If you can trust God with your soul, you can trust God with money. What's greater, money or souls? So if you can't trust God with your finances, how will you ever trust God with your soul? So when you have trouble with people talking about this in church, you have an issue. You have an issue that you don't trust the Lord. Let me tell you, when my wife comes back with a zero amount after she's sown, I can't tell you that I don't get a little panicky. She does have more faith in that realm than I have. But let me tell you, we have never, God has blessed us so much. I remember when we were making $42,000 a year, full-time, both of us. That was our salary together. That was barely 5 years ago. Yeah. That's what we made as a team. Two full-time people, 42 grand. But I live better than people that made 100 grand. Why is that? Not only did I know how to use God's money correctly, but we were tithers and we were sowers. We were people that knew how to activate heaven on earth by sowing a seed and seeing a harvest. And you see, we choose, each one of us. The Bible says right here, if you want a small crop or a large crop, it's not God's determination, it's yours. I've watched my children, now literally, I'm not even kidding you, I've watched my boys and my daughter empty their bank accounts when they get into the presence of a man or woman of God and seed is offered. But yet I'm watching my children. Cody had his first house, your house at what time? At what age? At 21. Chad had his house at 22. And Corinne just bought her house this last year. How is that possible? They're just kids. Because they've been taught this principle of tithing, sowing, and alms. And God's word always works. Can I hear an amen or oh my? The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. You and I make our decision. You'll notice in this house, I never bring anybody in who says, well, the Lord showed me that I need 100 people to give $119. You'll never see that happen here. Why? Well, because I believe that God will speak to everybody differently. Now, my first experience was at a pastor's conference, and literally I only had $50 in my pocket. That was literally every dime that I had in my pocket. And the pastor stood up and said, I'm going to give a special prayer to everybody in this room that comes up and gives $1,000. I didn't have $1,000. I had 50 bucks. I gave my 50. I didn't even get my special prayer. But you know what I learned? When that woman gave her two pennies and the man gave his wad, by the way, Jesus was looking into the bucket. How would he have known otherwise? He said the woman gave more than the man. How is that? Because she gave out of her need, he gave out of his excess. So it's never about amounts. So somebody here might see $10 and you're going to get an abundant harvest. Why? Because that was out of your need, man. You gave, you planted everything that you had. That might as well have been 100 acres. Where somebody might have $100,000 in the bank, gives a grand, and they might get a tiny harvest. Well, why? Because it's relative to the wealth that you have, not about the amount that you put in the plate. Look, I'm talking seed. I'm not talking tithe. Tithe is 10%. Say amen or oh my. So it's important to know that this is God's plan for your life, to be a seeder. Then you will always have enough, everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed to the farmer, then bread to eat. In the same way he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. The plan of God is that you be a seeder so that you'll always have more than enough, not just to give to somebody poor and you don't expect anything back, even though God will reward you openly, but so that you will be a seeder because you have need. What? Some of your needs are right here. And that is that you are so far in debt that you can't hardly see your way out. We want a supernatural debt cancellation, and I'm going to tell you how to do that this morning. I'm going to teach you. I had to teach you all three, but I'm going to teach you how to seed your way out of debt, how God will take you to a position and supernaturally start bringing money from places and in areas that you can't even imagine as you are starting to seed for your debt cancellation. I remember one time I had a husband and wife. They came in for premarital counseling. And I always say when you're starting to talk about debt, to be honest. Well, that day, she said she had no credit card debt. After they got married, he found out she had $42,000 in credit card debt. Well, some of you gasp, but some of you might not be too far away. And you need to destroy this debt in your life. And seeding is the way to destroy the debt. Now, I want to qualify one more time. Tithing is the ground that you're preparing. If you're not tithing, you can't seed. If you don't tithe, you can't seed. Because where are you casting the seed? Tithing is the opening principle of God's word. So as a tither, I want you to know something. You're going to start seeing, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. The Lord promises that he will rebuke the devourer and that you will have vision to be able to see even what God and where God wants to take you in your finances and blessing and so that you can be a blessing to other people. But beyond that is seed. We need to start seeding wisely. My wife and I learned this a long time ago, and it was this principle. And that is that if you will learn how to sow daily, you'll learn to be a perpetual harvester. A perpetual seed produces a perpetual harvest. If a farmer goes out and he just throws one crop in the field and does nothing more, he can't expect three crops. He only gets one. But if after you harvest one, you plant another, or you're constantly planting, then you will find you'll be a perpetual seeder is a perpetual harvester. This is where my wife and I are at right now. My wife and I see finances coming in literally daily, not just in the factor of, listen, the church's finances are set and settled. They're already set by a board. I do not have the right to increase, decrease. I have no rights outside of the board. The board makes that decision according to IRS law. But my wife and I have written books and we get speaking engagements and we're seeing that the increase, the more we seed, the more we're able to give. Why? Because the more God brings increase in our life. If you want increase in your life, you've got to start being a seeder. I don't know if I'm boring you. Maybe I'm too late. If you want to see increase, you've got to start being a seeder. Shout perpetual seed equals perpetual harvest. This is what I want you to do. I'm sure you've all already created your budget. The budget queen on the front row said, yep. If you don't have a budget yet, now listen, in your Grow book, it actually has how to do a budget. So you need to grab your, you need to give an alms to yourself. In your Grow book, it teaches you how to do a budget. If you're not living by a budget, you're not being responsible. If you are not living by a budget, you're being irresponsible. If you're not living by a budget, you're, come on now, if you're not living by a budget, you're not being a good steward. You ever watch, what's that show where the people come in and they pitch their Shark Tank? Anybody ever see Shark Tank? Don't you love Shark Tank? You want to know the funniest ones that come into Shark Tank are these. They walk in, they stand, they give their pitch, and then one of the sharks says, what are your numbers? And you watch them stutter over their numbers. They never get a deal. Why? Because they're not being responsible enough to keep track of their own numbers in their own company. Why would anybody else invest? You've got to be a budgeter or else there's no way for you to know what you're spending. Amen. So you've got to put together a budget. It's in the Grow book. But then this is what I want you to do. I want you to go and I want you to find your smallest bill in your budget. And I want you to start sewing for your smallest bill. What do I mean by that? In there is another thing called the snowball. How to eliminate debt through the snowball process. What I want you to do is I want you to get an envelope and I want you to start sowing daily. What do you mean, Pastor? I want you to, if you're a tither, I want you to start putting money in that daily and declaring what kind of harvest you want. You see, if I'm a farmer and I want corn, I'm going to plant. If I want peas, I'm going to plant. If I want apples, I'm going to plant apple seed. No matter what you're planting, that's what you're expecting. So this is what I want you to do, and this is what I'm encouraging you to do, to start seeing supernatural debt cancellation in your life. It's not about the amount, it's about obedience. Some of you are saying, well, Pastor, I don't have much. I mean, I think if I have a dollar a day to sow, that's not even real. So take a nickel, take a dime, take a penny. You can find a penny in the parking lot of Walmart. Find a penny, and every day put in that envelope with that bill's name right on the envelope saying, Jesus, I'm a tither, and I'm sowing daily for the debt cancellation. Lord, I declare that as I put this money in here, that I'm sowing to your kingdom. Then you bring that every Sunday, and you throw that in the offering plate, and you say, God, this is my seed to have that debt supernaturally canceled, supernaturally paid off. And what you're going to start seeing is you'll never outgive God. You can never eradicate God's promises. They are yea and amen. And when you start seeding towards that debt, supernaturally, God's going to bring a way out of no way to make it canceled in the name of Jesus. You start sowing that way, you're always going to have victory. Then when you get done that bill, get another envelope for the next one and start sowing for the next one. And you're going to start seeing, you know what I'm believing for? By next year of this time, I'd like to see $1 million of debt paid off from the people of this house. I've already got $23,000 paid off this year. Y'all know my sob story, and it's very sad. I had two Harley Davidsons. Don't hate me because I had two Harley Davidsons. Now, that pastor, he took it out of the offering plate. What's wrong with you? And we were always down in Florida. We're not down in Florida anymore. And I brought it home. I had two Harleys in the barn. Beautiful Harley. This blue one is beautiful. With, you know, it has 14-inch apes on there. And, man, that thing is just fast. And the Holy Spirit said, you're preaching on next level. sell one of the Harleys. Oh, devil, in Jesus' name, get behind me. I only need one Harley. Here. And so I said, well, Lord, you know, I'll sell it if you really want me to. And I tried to talk God out of it. But you know, I could easily make the payment. It was no big deal. Everything was good. And then all of a sudden, I put it in the thing, and some guy calls me from Chicago and says, I'll take it. He got on an airplane, flew out to here, got on the Harley he had never seen before, gave me money, and drove home. It was just wrong. But boy, it felt good to be over $20,000 out of debt just with that one bill. And then I had a credit card. I have less than $1,000 on credit cards. And I had this one credit card, and you know, I had the money to pay it off, and the Holy Spirit said, pay it off. But that's less than my stash. He said, pay it off. Paid it off. Man, I'm so excited. I got $23,000 less of debt in my life this year. And I'm just excited, and I can't wait to eliminate more, amen? I can't wait to start whittling down debt. I've already whittled off some more. Actually, that's at 24. Oh, we'd whittle down more debt. I'm having so much fun. No, that's me. She has her money, I have my money, and then we have money together. What's that? You, what? She has zero debt. All right, sermon is over. You got to get rid of debt, amen? We all know the story in 1 Kings, where it talked about the woman who was in debt, and they were coming to take away her kids. And we also know about the other story in 1 Kings 17, where literally she had nothing left. And she gave her little. She sowed her little into the prophet. And she had absolute abundance. I'm challenging you. Next level finances. Let's get out of debt. We're able to give, my wife and I, we love being able to sow to this church. I love it. And I love sowing to Brother Tiff and Brother Ted and the other ministers that come through this ministry. We write checks all the time. We give all the time. Not even exaggerating. We sow all the time. But we do that because we know that if we sow, we shall reap. But one day, I'm really excited. I want to be able to write a first $10,000 check. You know, I've written $1,000 checks, no problem, but I can't wait to write a $10,000 check. I can't wait to write a $50,000 check. I can't wait to write a $100,000 check. I, you know what? And I know, I have no question we'll be able to do that. And not because I get paid here. I know what God's going to be able to do because I know what God's plan is. But the only way to get there is to be a tither, a seeder, and then to give alms. Many people in the body of Christ stop being givers after the nature of their father, and it's all about taking and keeping. If God can get it through your hand, he'll get it to your hand. Well, I don't believe that. Exactly, that's the issue. You don't believe in the word. You've got to believe God's word. It's yea and amen. It is truth. If you put God's word to work, God's word will always work. If you don't complain. Don't hate on somebody that drives in with a Mercedes. Wow. Somebody said to me the other day, well, that's how the better half lives. Kept everything. I had to bite my tongue. Well, I guess that's how the better half lives. No, you know what it is? I know their life. They're smart. They're tithers. They're sowers. They know how to invest in the kingdom of God. And God's given them creative ideas. And God is blessing them in, going and blessing them going out. Blessing them in their storehouse. Blessing them in their baskets. They're not the tail, they're the head. God is blessing every aspect of their life. Why? Because they understand how God's kingdom works. And I challenge you to learn this. Some of you need this. Some of you, you've lived hand to mouth so long Some of you just, you're just barely making it all the time, and it's time to get rid of this. It's time to move forward, amen? I said it's time to, hey, can we have a keyboardist come? I was going to play for you. I want you to say this with me. Supernatural provision and debt cancellation is my life. I am a tither. I am a sower. And I give alms. And God is going to bless me going in. Bless me going out. Bless me in my storehouse. Bless me in my basket. The blessing's going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Hey, I'm telling you right now, that is not a little cliche. That is a lifestyle of abundance. Be a person of abundance. God will always bless you. You might not have a Mercedes, but you actually might have more to give than somebody else. I'll end with this. If you make $250,000 and you bring your level of living up to $200,000 and you have $1 million in the bank, and then there's a person who has, they live off $50,000, but they have $500,000 in the bank. Who's wealthier? The second one. They're going to be able to live more years with the same lifestyle. Not about amounts. It's about being a sower and making your life successful through the principles of God's word. We live it. I get made fun of for helicopters, airplanes. Supposedly I got 2 of them. $1 million house on the lake. You can keep prophesying over me all you want. Because I'm going to sow and sow and sow. And if I get that, baby, I'll invite you to come enjoy it with me. Because there's nothing wrong with things. As long as the things don't have you. Amen? Bow your head with me this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, that you are a God of abundance. Lord, when we get to heaven, we're gonna be able to walk on streets of gold. Lord, when we're praying for money, all we're asking for pavement. Lord, if the streets of gold, streets of heaven are gold, we're praying for money, we're only asking for pavement. It's nothing, nothing to you. Money is nothing to you, God. But Lord, it's everything to us. It's how this world goes round. And I pray, God, that those that are in this room today that are struggling with being controlled by their finances, being controlled by money, I pray, God, for deliverance this morning, that they'll make a decision that they are going to make you first in their life, that they will never be owned by things. They'll only be owned by God. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to talk to you about a debt that, let me tell you something, you can't pay back. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, today, if there's sin in your life, today, if you're not right with God, and the trumpet of God sounds, which we learned last week through Brother Tiff, that the trumpet could happen any day. Literally, it's the next step in prophecy. That by the end of this day, Jesus Christ could come, the rapture could occur, and the great tribulation period will start. Today, if there's a sin between you and God, today, if you're not right with Jesus, today, if you're in a backslidden condition, today, if you're not born again, today, you get supernatural sin cancellation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, you'd like him in your life. I'm not asking you to join this church. We don't have membership. I'm not asking you to join a religion. A kingdom can't be religion. It's a country. I'm asking you to know God. the one who changes your life from the inside out. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. Is there anyone in the room today that would like Christ to be the Lord of their life? I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, I thank you so much for this congregation. I thank you, God, that they're your people. Lord, you desire great things for us. And today, Jesus, we are making a conscious decision that we are going to live according to your principles, just like we believe in salvation. We know that what you spoke in your word about finances is truth as well. God, I give you praise for the woman that gave her heart to you this morning in first service. I thank you, God, for those that have given their hearts this week, Lord, during the weekday. And God, I thank you for all the campuses that today the souls will be reaped in. Lord, we declare that the devil cannot have them. We declare their debt of sin is canceled in Jesus' name. We declare that they will be discipled and grown and matured and do great things for your kingdom and fulfill the very purpose of their life on this planet. Lord, we thank you for everyone that's standing here today. And we declare blessing going in and blessing going out. Lord, I pray you'll make this house the wealthiest church in this entire region for the glory of God. I declare business to be grown out of this house. I declare, God, people with creative ideas will start new companies. I declare, God, that we'll have inventors here. I declare business owners. I declare, God, that we will have raises, promotions, and that Jesus, the world will see that being a believer, just like in the old covenant, being a believer means you are blessed. Shout, I'm blessed. Shout, I'm blessed. Have an awesome week. Serve Jesus with all of your heart. Don't forget the special services down in Mansfield or Wellsboro tonight. Have a great evening.
You are a